We'll discuss a little bit about Shiva Sabha Tamas, Yudzayin Tamas, and the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, and we'll talk about the four fast days, which are Zecher LaMikdash, were instituted to remember about the destruction of the temple. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that on different days of the year, they used to send out messengers. You know why? Because you had to know what holiday it was to know when to serve it. So the Mishnah leaves out Tammuz and Tevis. So the Gemara is bothered by, like, so how do we know how to fast on, if we don't know the date of Yudzayin Tammuz or the date of Asarah B'Tevis, how are we going to fast? So what do you mean you don't send out messengers? So the Gemara goes on to a whole discussion. They quote the Pasuk in Zechariah. See, Zechariah. Som HaRavi, Som HaChamishi, Som HaShavi, V'Som HaAsiri, the fast of the fourth month, fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month, Yelahem L'Sason U'Simcha, will be a time of Sason and Simcha. So the question is, which one is it? The Pasuk, in the beginning of the Pasuk, it says Som, fast. At the end of the Pasuk, it says Simcha, joyous occasion. So what's the Navi talking about? So obviously what happened was, after Churban Bayis Rishon, so all these were four, there were four fast days. And in fact, according to the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, perhaps they were all like Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. They were 24-hour fast days and with all the Inuyim. So we would have started the fast last night and not wearing leather shoes and all those things. However, the Shaila was, what about when the base, so then when they went to build the Bayis Sheni, what should we do? Do we still have to keep these fast days? Because now we're building a Beis HaMikdash. And then the Shaila was, what about after Churban Bayis Sheni, what do we do now that they're destroyed again? So basically, the Gemara lays out three different levels. So it depends on what's going on in life. So when is it at Tzom? So the Gemara tells us when there's no Beis HaMikdash and the Gzeiras HaMat, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then, and there's religious persecution, so then you have obligated to fast. Then it's at Tzom. If there's a Beis HaMikdash, so it's a Sason V'Simcha. It turns into a happy day. It's a debate regarding Tisha B'Av, whether Tisha B'Av is a universal day of Avelis no matter what, or even on that day, there'd be a Simcha. So that we'll leave aside for a separate discussion. But the bottom line is, when the Beis HaMikdash is up, it's a time of celebration. So if there's no Beis HaMikdash and religious persecution, you have a fast day. And the simple pshat is a 24-hour fast day. And if the Beis HaMikdash is up, so then it's a simcha. So the question is, what about if there's no Beis HaMikdash, but we're not under religious persecution? Of course, there's anti-Semitism going around. There always will be. Halacha v'yadua she'esav soni as Yaakov, but it's not systemic anti-Semitism. It's anti-Semites. We're not living under a country that's anti-Semitic. So, therefore, the Gemara says, if there's no Beis HaMikdash and no persecution, so the Gemara says, Ratzu mis'anin, Ratzu einu mis'anim. It's up to you. It's optional. If you want to fast, you can fast. If you don't want to fast, you don't have to fast. So, the Gemara gives us three levels. So, when the no Beis HaMikdash, religious persecution, obligated to fast, the Beis HaMikdash is up, obligated to feast. And when there's no Beis HaMikdash and no religious persecution, let's say like now, so it seems to be optional. Are you telling me today it's optional? You mean you're fasting for nothing? No, so it's not optional anymore. But Midine HaGemara, it's optional. Midine HaGemara, and therefore there is differences LaHalacha between... Let me just finish the Gemara for a second. So the Gemara said then, then Ihachi Tisha B'Av. So what about Tisha B'Av then? So why do they send out messengers for Tisha B'Av? Why not say it's optional also? So Gemara says, no, Tisha B'Av is different. Shani Tisha B'Av Shehukpelo Tzaras. That it's double trouble. Both temples were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, the Gemara says Tisha B'Av is a different status than Yud Zayin Tammuz, Asara B'Tevis, and Tzom Gedalia. Of course, Yom Kippur is in its own state. That's a biblical fast day. So it goes Yom Kippur is the highest, then Tisha B'Av, and then the other three fast days. So the Gemara says Tisha B'Av Yarch. So Tisha B'Av, there's no option. You always had a fast on Tisha B'Av. I don't mean when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. I mean, right now, when there was no Beis HaMikdash, so Tisha B'Av was always considered mandatory, and that's why they had to send out messengers to know when to fast on it, because it was never an option. The option is only on the three other fast days. So therefore it comes out that Tisha B'Av is mandatory, you know, Midin HaGemara, but the other fast days are optional. However, is it optional? You mean, do I have a choice? I don't have to fast today? So the answer is no. We don't have a choice. So why not? The Gemara gave me a choice. So we have a similar concept by Meirev. That Meirev, we paskin, is a rishus. However, as the Bahag points out, Kvar Shovyu Olav Kechova, Klal Yisrael in its good senses have taken on Meirev as mandatory, and therefore we have to do Meirev. So what's pshat that Meirev is mandatory? That's a machlokis in the Rishonim. Do I say now Meirev is treated like Shacharis and Mincha? It's Ikaro now considered mandatory? I say no. Really, Meirev is optional, but I'm voluntold, as they say. You're forced to volunteer. When your boss asks you to volunteer something, so you're voluntold. So basically, we force you to volunteer in Davin Meirev. But it is, you are volunteering. We're just forcing you to, as opposed to saying, no, you're not volunteering. So we'll see the difference in a minute. Either way, you have to daven Meirev. The question is it fundamentally treated like the other tefillahs or no? It's still fundamentally different, except that we have to... So that's why it's a major discussion regarding... there's a Machokas Rambam and Raivi there regarding Meirev we'll come back to. But regarding the fast day, so it comes out according to... So the Mechaber and the Rambam seem to learn that the fast days are still optional, but we're forced to volunteer. And the Ramah learns, like the Rishonim, that we're obligated to fast. We don't have a choice. So my nafkamina, so I'll give you a nafkamina. I wasn't in a Sephardi shul on Shabbos. So I can't say they did it, but that's what I hear some Sephardi shuls do. Is, in general, let's say you're taking on a personal, private fast. So if you want to fast a private, you cannot eat anytime you want. But if you want it to be a halachic fast, there's a difference between a halachic fast and not eating. So, I mean, in terms of pounds, it might not be different, but in terms of halachic status. So, the halach is, if you want to take on a tainus yachid, so You have to be makabel tainis. You have to accept. There's a formal. So they say in shul, let's say before Bahab, before those days. So in the shuls they announce we're taking on the fast day coming up. So there's a concept of being makabel tainis on a tainis yachid. If it's a tainis mefurish biksav, then you don't have to take it on. It's forced upon me. So that's why, according to Ashkenaz, we don't have to be makabel tainis. For us, the tainis is a chov. It's forced on us, and we assume it's the four tainism that they mention in the Navi. So we weren't makabel tainis, but in theory, if you're a Svardi, you follow the Machaber, you'd have to be makabel tainis in order for it to have. So of course my question is, oh great, you mean so if I'm not makabel tainis, I don't have to fast? What are you telling me? You're telling me a ku or a chumra here? What does that mean? So of course they'll say you're forced to be makabel tainis. The minig is mechayev you that you have to be makabel tainis. But my kash is, let's say you're not makabel tainis. So I guess, so what, in theory then you could eat, but you're just violating not milkabel the tainis. I'm just thinking aloud to myself at the moment. So, but either way, the bottom line is that Svardim have to be makabel tainis because they hold it still remains optional and we're only volunteering. While the Ramah, we assume we have to fast so we don't have to be makabel tainis. Also, perhaps another distinction is the Svardim can be more lenient in terms of washing. Let's say you want to wash your mouth out with water, and we'll get to brushing your teeth and mouthwash in a second. But because the Gemara in Brachas talks about, what about tasting food? Let's say someone takes on a tainis yachid, they says they won't eat. But what about tasting? I'm not eating, but I'm a chef, I want to taste my food before I eat. On Friday we have a mitzvah to amo tayim chayim zochu. So the Gemara gets into neder lashon, because if it's lashon, neder is lashon b'nei adam. So it comes out that if it's a neder, it's a lashon b'nei adam, so when someone says they're not going to eat, they don't mean they're not going to taste. But,
yes.
So therefore, Svarim have more leniency. They can wash out the mouth with soap. That I guess you can do any time, but they can wash the mouth out with water, and they don't have to worry because in theory, maybe you're even allowed to take, you know, and they're not even doing a bit kavana. So Pashtus Harama is you can't. Does that mean Ashkenaz can't wash the mouth out during a tainis soap? There are some might say yes. However, some poskim ameko, they say, therefore, you should brush not just with water, you should brush with toothpaste. Because toothpaste isn't considered like food, and it's not right, you're not going to want to drink the water with the toothpaste. Or if you have mouthwash, it's not something you're going to have. That's a samameko, that even according to the Ramah, you know, even according to the Ramah, if you want to assume that you can't wash your mouth out with water, but you can do it with mouthwash or like toothpaste and that stuff. So either way, so therefore there's room to be mako to brush with them. And, you know, you're trying not to swallow and all that. So getting back here, so we said Tisha B'Av is different than the other fast days. Tisha B'Av is double trouble, and therefore we have to fast, right? So the question is, so that's the Gemara. So the first step of the Gemara is we see Yud Zayin Tamiz Midin HaGemara is optional, even though we take it upon ourselves as a chova. So that's one thing to know. Another thing, the question is, when is the fast over? At this point, some I think it's the most important question. Before the fast, the most important question is, when is it starting? When did it start? It was like really early. It was crazy, like 3:41. I couldn't even wake. What didn't even pay to wake up early to eat. I just, if I was up at 1, 2 in the morning, I just ate and then went to sleep. But So whatever, the fast is over. I don't know. We'll discuss what time it's over. But so the question is, but when is not in time, in principle, when is the fast over? So the Gemara says in Tainis, call Tainis, Shego Shaka Lochama Ingo Tainis. Any Tainis that doesn't go to the end of the day isn't considered a Tainis. When you can't, if the fast for 6 hours isn't fasting, you know, maybe if you take on your own Tainis for an hour or two, that's something else, a Tainis shows. But here, to be considered fasting, you have to fast the whole day. So what's considered a whole day? Koshigol Shokol Achama. So what does that mean? So some want to say that means Seitach El Chavim, when the sun is totally set.
Yes.
And others say the Das, in back of Tainis, the Piskei Tosfos writes, no, he thinks it means Shkia. It means, that's the same, it's a similar machlokas we have by Hanukkah, whether you light Hanukkah candles at sunset or you should wait until a later time. So there's another Gemara. The Gemara says in Psachim, regarding the fast of Tisha B'Av, that it says that Tisha B'Av ben Hashmashes you can't eat. You can't eat ben Hashmashes Tisha B'Av. I think it's a discussion. The Gemara, we paskin, you can't eat during Ben HaShemashes of Tisha B'Av, right?
Yes.
So what's the implication of that Gemara regarding Yud Zayin Tamas? So some might say, who's that a proof for? To those who say you can't eat tonight until nightfall or until Ben HaShemashes? The implication is that Tisha B'Av you can't eat during Ben HaShemashes, but Yud Zayin Tamid you could. That seems to be a raya for the Piskei Tosfos. So the other Rishonim say no, it's not a raya. All fasts you have to wait until nighttime. Aye, so why are we singing out Tisha B'Av? Because Tisha B'Av is different, because Tisha B'Av has two Ben HaShemashes, because it starts the night before. So what these Rishonim say, these Mefarshim say, is we're talking about, everyone agrees the night time after Tisha B'Av, all agree you can't eat. That's not on the table. The debate is, what about the Ben HaShemashes before Tisha B'Av? That's the debate in the Gemara. So we assume you can't, we even assume you can't eat them, but the whole, why would you make a distinction between the Ben HaShemashes before Tisha B'Av and the Ben HaShemashes after Tisha B'Av? What's the svara, what's the logic to make, why would I think, we can't eat on both, but why would I think you could eat before but not after? What would be the argument that eating before is better than eating after? So, huh?
Shabbos, you start early for, you know, Shabbos, but you end with the stars, so you
right.
Restrict both ways.
I know, so what does that have to do with my question I asked? So the answer is because it was a non sequitur, it might be true what you said, but nothing to do with what I asked. So the answer is why are we strict? Why? Because we follow, we shtel the chazaka normally. So before Tisha B'Av, I'm in a status of I'm permitted to eat. So the burden of proof is on you. If you're telling me I can't eat anymore, so then you have to, the burden of proof is on you. So I might think Ben HaShemashes is before Tisha, but maybe you could eat, because until I know it's Vaday Tisha B'Av, then maybe, on the other hand, there's no thought about that afterwards, because it's the opposite. We're in a Cheskes Isser until we could prove Tisha B'Av is over. That's why one might argue that's what they point out, that the only issue was the Ben HaShemashes before Tisha B'Av. That was a debate. But all agree that Yud Zayin Tamas doesn't end until nightfall. So we have a machlokes, the Piskei Tosfos and other Mefarshim, whether a regular fast day, not Tisha B'Av, like the other three, whether the fast ends on sunset or it ends at nightfall. So we have two things going for us so far. One kula is really medin ha-gemara, we don't have to fast at all. But we've taken upon themselves as a chova. And that's why, parenthetically, that's why we're more lenient today than on Tisha. But let's say for pregnant or nursing women, they have a blanket heter today, but not on Tisha B'Av, because we'll see Tisha B'Av is a higher level fast. But the point, but there are differences in the fact that Medin HaGemara, we volunteer it. So, or we took it upon ourselves.
Your friends difficult.
What happened?
Your friends there for a bit. I'm not sure you said anything.
Yeah, so, well, if I said something, no. So therefore, it goes like this. We have, to summarize so far, in case I don't know what was blanked out, what wasn't, what I got frozen on. So number one, Medin HaGemara, we don't have to fast. Practically we do, but we've taken upon ourselves as a chovah. That's one thing. That's one kula. I'm already machmer, I'm fasting, even though I don't have to, Medin HaGemara. So, and now you have another machlokes. When is, okay, I'm fasting. But you have a machlokes if the fast is over sunset or the fast is over nightfall. So in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, anyone who eats after sunset, don't make a macha. Don't protest. They have what to rely on. So that, but our meaning is we're still strict. We don't eat after sunset. So we want to take on a third chumra. We want to wait until nightfall. So let's assume we're going to wait to nightfall. But then you have many opinions. When is nightfall? Like is, you know, people end Shabbos many different times. Some end at 72 minutes, you know, some end at an hour. So there's different opinions about when is nightfall. So when it comes to Dinim D'Oraisa, when it comes to biblical laws like Shabbos, Yom Kippur, so obviously we're going to be very strict. But if we're talking about something which is only a meaning we've taken upon, we've shoveled a kachova, so do I have to look for the last shita on when nightfall is? No. So then you could rely on earlier opinions. You could rely on an early opinion of when nightfall is. So in other words, you're ready being machmir, you're fasting. That's the one chumra you're taking on. Number two is, even though perhaps you could even end the fast at sunset, but we're going to be strict again. So if I'm going to be machmir on nightfall, I don't have to take on the strictest nightfall. Let me take on a shorter. That's why we don't have calendars this year. But that's why the fast can end earlier today than it did yesterday. Meaning, when it comes to Shabbos, we're going to be more machmir on when Shabbos is over because we're dealing with serious prohibitions. But since Yud Zayin Tammuz is only a minig, we're only doing it Kushavu, so then there's much more room to be lenient, and that's why we could pick an earlier time to end. That's why the end of the fast of today will be earlier than it will be. So when was Shabbos over yesterday? I'm just going to approximate. I'm not going to give an exact time. I don't know, around 9:45?
Yes.
I mean, Toronto could be a little different. So I'm just saying is, I have to check the calendar myself, but if 9:45-ish the fast Shabbos was over, so I'd say certainly by 9:30-ish then this fast should be over. In other words, I have to see what time Shki is, and then I would think 25, you know, I have to see the calendar, but 25 minutes after sunset, again, there's more room to be Mako, because you're already being Machmir for Sage. You're just taking an earlier Sage Tzachol Chavim. So based on that, that's why people will end, because people say, like, what do you mean? Nightfall is nightfall. If nightfall is 9:45 for Shabbos, why isn't nightfall 9:45 for the fast? So For some people it is. They keep it simple. They don't want to confuse people. They don't, for the majority of calendars, they don't make a distinction. They just go, look at the calendars and see yourself. But many calendars, okay, so, and if you want to end the fast 9:45, there's no problem. The issue is, when people are asking when the fast is over, they're asking me the earliest time to eat, not the latest time to eat. So I'm just saying, so whatever the time is, was it 9:30, 9:31? I don't know, did he send out a
9:31?
Yeah, okay, so even though that sounds pretty late, but I guess it's because we're right near June 21st. That's why I don't remember the fast starting that early either, 3:45. It's usually like 4 or 5. So, yeah, so 9:31, I guess, then. That's the time we'll go with. So 9:31, the fast will end. It was 9:45 on Shabbos. It was not, so 9:31, one could break the fast. And I'm saying it's a chumra, not a kula. Of course, you could take on another chumra and wait to 9:45. But I'm just saying is, it's a chumra in the sense that me'ikra dina gemara, you don't have to fast. We took it on chumra to fast. It's according to some, the fast is over at sunset. We're going to be machmer, and that's why the Aruch HaShulchan says, don't be mochas someone who eats after at sunset. So we'll take on the chumra of Seitzach Chochavim, but we're going to do it at an earlier time. So therefore, we're only going to wait to 9:31, let's say in this instance, as opposed to 9:45. Yeah. Any questions?
Yes.